We are going Love live.
Talk Radio.
Also going live on Mixler. And we are live on Spreaker. Wow, we have the extra. I left my normal lights on. We're all well lit today.
Nicely done.
We're going to hit record. I have no. Oh, this will be fun. We're just making it up as we go along.
I like it that way.
I will. All right. There's me.
I have all three chat rooms open.
And
actually all four chat rooms open.
And all right. Now I wish I understand why, but this ding thing drives me crazy.
Yeah, you got to turn it off.
Yeah, it's like the you know, when you start this up, it makes it easy to a certain extent.
Mike Howard tells me he likes it cuz it tells him, especially early on, when cuz he's the first one out there every single time. And so it tells him when somebody's jumped in the chat.
Ah, there you go. Well, here we go. What is today, the 24th? And we have to announce the winner of the free year at the School of Podcasting.
Oh, nice.
Don't let me forget to do that.
Okay. Did you pull the notes open?
No. I guess I should do that now.
Yeah, just do it real quick.
Before we completely... This is the pre-show to...
I'll put Dave Jackson, winner of the free...
And I'm going to go ahead and open up Excel now so that we don't have this weird... lag as I launch the software and things go live. Santa should have brought me a new computer for
Christmas. It's helpful. Yeah. It's helpful. Equipment, that's the one thing I wouldn't go cheap on.
Make sure.
PC is super important, whether it's a Mac or... It's hard to buy a crappy Mac, but you can certainly buy crappy PCs.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. All right. Yeah. Meanwhile, 12 years later, Excel is still loading. There we go. I'm like going, come on now. And
I think you just got a jammed up version of Windows at this point. You've had that for a long time.
There we go. Audience survey. Yes, because you get to pick the winning number.
Oh, sweet.
I actually had 103 people respond. I thought that was...
that's good.
Yeah, like, good. Wow, that's pretty cool. All right. Well, here we go. We're recording there. We're recording everywhere else. All right. Here we go. And we wait for the ding. Ask the Podcast Coach for January 24th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. It's Saturday, and this is where you come to get your podcast questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from theschoolofpodcasting.com. Find me over there at schoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me, it wouldn't be Saturday without my buddy Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Broadcasting to you live in voice mode again today on Google Plus, because I always forget to change that over to studio. I don't know why I... I don't know, it makes me sound more bass, maybe a little more like Barry White.
Smooth jazz.
That's Matt, the Barry White of podcasters.
But if you'd like to call in, we do have a call, a pre-recorded call. And that reminds me, I got to switch over. We're still doing the beta test of Blog Talk Radio. And that number, of course, it's 347-850-8007. You can join us. We have a chat room going on over at askthepodcast.com/live. But if you want to call in and hear your smiling voice on the air, it's 347-850-8007. And it would be great to have you there. But let's see. Let's go to that call that we got in. It's from it's an interesting scenario. That it's a question about, because we're on iHeartRadio, and we did that through Spreaker, and Justin has a question about that.
Hello, Dave. My name is Justin Harvey from West Virginia. I listen to your show every Saturday, and I rather enjoy it. I enjoy your tips and whatnot, but I do have a question for you, and this may be, like, unorthodox, but, I'm a disabled individual that has their own podcast, the Justin Harvey Show, which I feature guests like Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Ernie Reyes Jr. and Sr., and many other celebrities. In fact, I'm being inducted into the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame this year for my work and dedication to my little program. But where I do not work, a lot of these paid sites I cannot get on. And I just wanted your advice on how to get iHeartRadio to look at my program. And I've reached the required 100 followers, which what I did was I started a campaign on Facebook. And a lot of my Facebook friends and celebrity friends have chipped in and helped out. But yet again, iHeart, the approval process, it's just still sitting there saying, you know, pending approval. So I just, you know, I wanted your input. You know, I wanted your thoughts because I don't use copyrighted music or anything like that. And what I do to record is I bought an iPhone app that records my phone calls at any given time. So I'm not restricted there. So, but yeah, I would like to encourage you guys to please follow my podcast. You know, it's my outlet to the world because with my disability, I have cerebral palsy and I'm not able to travel a whole lot. So, yeah, that's what makes my story unique. So, yeah, look up the Justin Harvey Show on Spreaker, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this. And I hope it makes your Saturday episode, because I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Justin. And I wish I had better news for you. But much like iTunes, iHeartRadio, you submit it and you sit and you wait. And here's the bad news. At one point, Paul Culligan and I were going to work on a book together about iHeartRadio. There's really not much to write about. But here's the thing, because I've talked to some folks. I've talked to the folks at Spreaker about this, because you're not the only person that goes, what do you got to do? I submitted, like, you know, 2 years ago, and not quite that bad. But you wait a while, and you said the key point there. What will get you knocked out of iHeartRadio is any kind of licensed music. And I know I submitted the Logical Weight Loss podcast, and they kicked me out, even though my intro music is licensed music, but I got permission. And I thought, you know, I could send them the emails I have that say, yeah, go ahead and use it. And I just went, you know what, never mind. But the thing is, like you're saying, I don't have any kind of music. It's all royalty free. The bad news is a lot of people are submitting stuff that does. So consequently, and from what I understand, mammoth amounts of people are submitting their stuff to iHeartRadio. So there's a lot of people that they're going, you know, they check every single one. So the line is long. And then the bad news is, from what I understand, people submit it, it gets rejected. And what do? They turn right around and submit it again. So it's just sit and wait. And now, on the other hand, I haven't looked at my numbers in a while. I don't get a ton of listeners on iHeartRadio. I don't promote it a whole lot, but on the other hand, you get more, in my opinion, and that's all this is, you get more from iHeartRadio to be able to say, I'm on iHeartRadio than actually, you know what I mean? It looks good on the resume, as heard of on iHeartRadio, because people are like, well, iHeartRadio, he must know what he's talking about. So, yeah, Jim,
Yeah, it certainly takes a lot of time. We're submitting through Gallup. I'm submitting these new feeds that we've been creating through iHeartRadio. It just takes forever.
Yeah,
to get it done. And you know, there are sticklers also on the number of episodes you have. So you have to have at least 5 in the can before you go to them. They don't. And then if it's not regular, and I think it's weekly, is their requirement that you're out. So it's one of those things that now they won't kick you out, but they, because I have some old podcasts in there that have pod faded and they're still in iHeartRadio. So they're not monitoring what's there, but if you go to apply, they're going to check, like you said, they're going to check what you're doing. Then they're going to check how frequent you are. And if you're not frequent, right, if you don't have a show in the last 2 weeks, they won't approve you. So make sure you're putting your shows up regularly and consistently on Spreaker. That's the key. They got to be on Spreaker. to get that done. And then and then just wait. You know, the good news is I think iTunes has sped things up. So I've been getting very, very quick turnarounds. We've been creating these new feeds in usually a couple, 3 days, and
yeah.
I've got an answer back.
Scott Johnson from Computer Tutor Florida. Oh, Scott, help me. Ultimate Finishers. That's going to drive me nuts. I'll have to find that by the end of the show. But he started a new show, was originally going to be video, and then went, hey, you know what? Audio's kind of quicker. And switched to audio and submitted it, and... I want to say it was a 48 hours. It was really quick, the turnaround
on iTunes.
Yeah.
They've been really good about turning around after the holiday. They've been pretty good with me about turning them around. So.
Well, and speaking of turning around, last week we talked about how Stitcher couldn't get your feeds updated, and you were kind of like, hey guys, hey thanks, you know, I gave you three, you updated one. Any update
right.
on that?
Yeah, so it's we always complain when it doesn't go right, but we never kind of come back around and finish the story. So. What I found out is I just sent them back one at a time. So I just sent those feeds back in emails one at a time, and boom, at one point they sent an email back and said, okay, we did it. And I checked the feed, and it still wasn't right. And I said, are you sure? And finally they got, and what the deal was is I've changed the name of my show. And so I wanted them, it was saying Home Tech, and it's called Home Gadget Geeks now. And so I wanted them just to get that change, because when you search for Home Gadget Geeks and Stitcher, you weren't finding it. And I want to say, I'm really trying to for most listeners, I'm really trying to drive them to two locations. If you have an iPhone, use the podcast apps. If you're on Android, use Stitcher. There's other things they can do that's great. But for the listener who isn't currently doing it, especially on our Gallup podcasts where we have a lot of non-tech listeners there. I really just, because options, I said this before, options equal confusion. So I want to give them really one option. Hey, look, if you're on Android, use Stitcher. Well, when I said that, I looked at my own podcast. I'm like, can I find my own podcast in Stitcher? And so I looked, as I was looking up, I realized it was, they still had the old name. So anyways, Stitcher got back to me. They were very helpful. They're actually really responsive on their content at Stitcher.com. I think that's the email address that you use for their support. If you have any questions, go to their support portal, and they'll help you out there. I just submitted an account for Gallup for Stitcher, because I'm going to start pushing our Gallup podcast to Stitcher as well. That takes a couple, 3, 4, 5 days for them to approve as well. So I'm waiting for that approval to come back to get into their portal. So resolved, they changed it, looks great, they updated stuff, everything's good. If you have questions on Stitcher, best thing to do. And somebody said tweet them, and that actually didn't work. I tweeted them a couple times and got nothing back from them via Twitter.
That's surprising. But
the email address worked. So, you know, maybe you have to do different, you know, different modes to get it done. But I think it's content@stitcher.com is their support, and they have a fairly quick, they were pretty quick in getting back to me. Even when it was wrong, they were pretty quick in getting back to me.
Hey, we just, you know, we like to teach people and give them tips and things like that. I'm sitting here listening going, why is the iPad today? Just, there's a lot of like hiss. And then, as soon as I unplugged the iPad, all the hiss went away. I'm like, okay. I wish, I use a soundbite to play all of our fun-filled little,
Woo!
Stuff.
Woo!
And I hate the fact that I have to plug it in and load it through iTunes. And I know Daniel was talking about that thing from Ambrosia, and I saw that was one of the cracks. I love Boss Jock Studio because I can just throw things in Dropbox and then tie Boss Jock Studio so no cable involved, basically. And I actually started looking at that Ambrosia software, and I went, aside from it's a pain in the butt to get stuff into Soundbite, and Boss Jock Studio would work. Boss Jock Studio isn't really primarily a cart machine. It's meant to be able to record the whole thing. So it would kind of work, but when you have multiple shows like I do, and I am doing more and more stuff where I'm playing stuff live on my shows, I needed something with multiple inputs. And that's really where that Ambrosia thing comes in. But it sounds like I have to plug it into my Mac to get it, and I'm like, that's the whole thing, is getting the stuff on and off. It's kind of a pain in the butt. I did want to go back. I just thought of something. You were talking about changing the name of your show. In the clip we had from Justin, and again, Justin, thanks for calling that in. I noticed you said, look for the Justin Harvey Show on Spreaker. Just a tip, a better way would just say whatever your website is. You know, buy that website, Justin Harvey Show or whatever it is, and definitely put that out there, because you just want to make it easy for people. You know, like when people say, find me in iTunes, I'm like, no, go make a pretty link and, you know, school of podcast or askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes or whatever it is. And that will always help.
Although I do think it's not bad to remind them of the apps that are available for
right.
them. So, hey, you know, use the podcast app in iOS 6 or iOS 8, or I wouldn't say it that way. On your iPhone, find the podcast app. It's right there. You can't miss it, right? So audibly trigger them to think, oh yeah. And they won't do it that time. But if you say it consistently every time, they will remember that and they'll check it out. As well as, I think Stitcher is the way to go on Android from that point. And then Daniel jumped in chat, and I think Jason said as well, on Spreaker, they've now combined iHeartRadio and their own downloads into one stat. So they used to break them out, and now it's just called, I think it's just called On Demand.
Hmm.
And yeah, On Demand, it says here in their notes, if you go out to your Spreaker stats, which is pretty interesting. They are getting better with, I mean, again, they're improving things over there. They keep adding these little pieces. But it says On Demand includes plays from iHeartRadio and YouTube. Because remember, we talked about that
right.
YouTube option where you can ship it over there. Those stats seem to be coming back. So no way to break those out right now, but you do get some good breakdown on your shows there. One of the things I found fun to do is to go to the geolocation tab there, and it'll break it down by top countries as well as top cities. And one of the little engagement plays that I do is I take the top five cities copy and I paste them into the Facebook group and say, hey, who's from these cities, right? If you're trying to create engagement, because people want to identify, you know, go Los Angeles or go Denver or whatever,
right.
You know. So ironically, something must have happened on my Spreaker stats, because one day, typically I get, let's just say I get 30 plays a day on Spreaker. One day it hit 100. That was one place that downloaded it 100 times or whatever. So my top city, El Cajon, California, is at 53% of my plays, but it's an anomaly, right? It doesn't make sense. So.
It's kind of funny because I talk on, you know, I have this show, I have the School of Podcast. I always forget, like, did I say last week on the new media show, Rob Greenlee and Todd, I don't know if it was last week, the week before, mentioned that Clear Channel or whoever owns iHeartRadio was having serious financial problems. Did I mention that here?
No.
Yeah, and I just thought when I heard they changed that, they took the stat out, I'm like, is that a
remuneration? Well, let me be clear, though, and thanks to Mike and Jason out there in chat. Those stats are found under sources. It's just not in the top bar graph that's across the top. So in the very top bar graph, they combine it together. And then if you go to the sources tab under stats, and this is, again, why Spreaker's changing stuff all the time, right? They are really working hard. It breaks down, my sources in this case are other, and then Spreaker, comma, website, and then there's an iHeartRadio tab, and then it says Facebook, Sonos, all the Spreaker apps that are available.
Sonos, interesting.
Sonos is an option, yeah, Sonos. And then Spreaker iPhone, Spreaker Android, Spreaker iPod Touch, theaverageguy.tv, my own site, Spreaker iPad, MediaFire, which is interesting because we use the MediaFire guys over there, Windows Media Player, and Twitter. So those breakdowns are, and in my case, other comprises 26%, where Spreaker, the website, comes in at number 2 at 23%, and then iHeartRadio comes in at 16%.
Well, there is I'm calling an audible on myself. There is it's not new. I've talked about, let me see, what is the name of them again? Audiometric.io, and they are going to start having, this is the place that will pay you to host, you know, your files on their hosting. Now, what's interesting is I kind of went over and was playing with it, and you know me, I love to test everything. And the fun part is they don't have the you don't get to pick who the ad is. Like, you know, they're gonna have some new ads. I'm like, cool. Do I get to approve who does and who doesn't? And they kind of went, no. And I went, okay. And for a while, they made it really hard to get the link to your MP3, because I'm like, you know, most people that are going to use this are going to copy and paste it into PowerPress. And at one point, you just walked in and you clicked on it, and you know, you gave you the link, and then all of a sudden that went away. And I went, that's not good. And what I found, at least, now I can do this if I think about it. If I log into my account, which I will do as we speak. For the record, really good support over there. They don't meet my needs because they really whack your file name. I haven't checked to see if, what they do to ID3 tags. But I'll try to do this. Now, Jim, it might be weird because I'm going to change this to where I'm actually going to send the sound. So you, if you talk, you'll have an echo because I'm going to turn the thing up. But it's just a really brief. Here we go.
Did you know podcasts reach millions of people every month?
The wrong knob.
Podcast.
A little different. Could you hear that at all, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Did you know podcasts reach millions of people every month? Podcast advertising is a great way to reach new customers. In fact, you'll be speaking directly to them. Visit audiometric.io now to find out more.
So that's, it's not, obnoxious. It's,
today on more.
Okay. And according to this, I have no idea what the CPM is. I'm up to 7 cents. So I'm not sure what I'm going to spend that on. You have
cash
to get
it in.
You have to get to $100 to get a check.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And there's 2027,
you'll get your check.
Exactly. So I was like, okay. So it was just interesting. It's like, okay, here's, and the thing that's cool, they did listen. They got my tip when they first launched. They said, what if somebody puts their podcast on here? They grow their audience and hey, they're tired of making, whatever the cut is, because they split the ads 50-50. And I said, what if they want to leave? So they now have a redirect, super easy redirect feed in there. So I was like, well, and they keep saying, we're going to have advertisers. And according to what the guy over there, when I was talking to
the clip
this week,
didn't play. I didn't hear it. And I don't think it made it to YouTube either.
Okay.
Let's see if we can try that again.
Yeah. Let's try that. Because I thought, I'm like, wait a minute. You shouldn't be able to hear it because I didn't change any knobs. Let's do this.
Did you know podcasts reach millions of people every month?
No.
Podcast advertising is a great way to reach new customers.
You had it, and then it went away.
Well, that's what it was. I turned up the effects. I'm trying to think of, I forget what I'm sending to you. Here, let's do this. Maybe it's.
I thought maybe it was just me.
Because I'm sending. This is you.
Like, so they can hear me.
Oh, I know what it is. I have to send it to the sub. That's it. Okay. Because I'm like, how am I sending things to you? Here we go.
I'll give you this or this.
Now you'll hear an echo of yourself.
Did you know podcasts reach millions of people every month? Podcast advertising is a great way to reach new customers. In fact, you'll be speaking directly to them. Visit audiometric.io now to find out more.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's nice, Ed.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, it'll be interesting to see. But if it's a person, the person's like, I want a podcast for absolutely free, and you don't mind that they whack your your file name. And like I said, I haven't checked ID3 tags. They do have an iTunes feed, and you can leave. Their show notes are crap because you can't put links in there. So a couple things that I was like, and their stats are meh at best. It's like, here's how many downloads you had. They have a couple weird things where I can see how many people are listening live. Like, how many people are listening? Like, right now, I can see in the United States, I have one person listening to my stuff. And, I see a note here. They have an interesting chat system that when you have a ticket, it shows up in your interface. And I can see where, I think his name is Chris, says, we do have a number of ads that will be approved over the next week. So I can see kind of where people are coming from. It's I was like, all right, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that they don't let you pick because, they've got a pretty narrow selection probably themselves of what they have available. So they got to kind of say, they got to pitch it until they get bigger. Maybe if as more use them, they'll get bigger. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah. So, but hey, the phone lines are open. If you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. That's again, 347-850-8007. And you want to feel good? Anybody want to feel good?
I want to feel good.
I did this week, and I was amazed at how good I felt. He's in the chat room. Reverend Ken Blanchard from Black Man with a Gun is launching a new. He's been doing obviously guns, right? He's kind of a gun guy, and he's launching. He's kind of branching out, and he's doing a. That's why I'm running over to his website. See, this is what I get for not making notes. He's launching a new podcast, and he's using a kind of a like a Kickstarter type thing. And it is at, I'm waiting for the website to come up, Indiegogo. I'll put this in the chat room. And so I went over and I was like, hey, you know what? My buddy's starting a new show. I could go to the movies or I could help my buddy. And so I helped my buddy and I was amazed at how, like, I was like, wow, that's cool. I actually helped somebody get further to their dream and he's going to try to launch his new thing. And as opposed to going and seeing a really horrible movie and paying too much for popcorn and that whole nine yards. And I went, you know what? I should start doing that more often and giving back, as they say.
It's a good call. Yeah. It's a good call. It's a good way to do it, too.
Yeah, I was like, I'd heard of Indiegogo. I never actually had participated. It was an easy kind of thing to do. You just go there and you do the PayPal or the credit card or whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was amazed at when I got done. I was like, well,
does he have a goal that he's shooting for?
There is a goal. I just closed the website. And he is looking for, Ken, you should call in, buddy. 347-850-8007. He's looking to raise 5 G's. Because I think he's got a, you know, it's an outdoor show. And so he probably needs different equipment and,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So, good way to do it.
Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. But, that was something I did that I did not expect to have that kind of, he says, launching a crowdfunding for a show before I launch it. Yep. And, since they're in the chat room, I know Jason and Daniel both use that, that sound card I was talking about. How do you guys get stuff on that before I go spending out $20 for an app? And it's not the $20. I just don't want to buy something that I don't use. I would love to know how you guys get files on that because I love the fact that you can have multiple kind of configurations. So I could have one for Ask the Podcast Coach. I could have one for School of Podcasting and kind of go that route, but would love to know how you do that. So,
you know, this crowdsourced stuff, you know, crowdsourced podcasting, that kind of stuff really works and only works when your crowd is super engaged in that. So if you're a new podcaster and you have not gathered several thousand people, and just remember, you're going to only get a very, very small percentage of people who follow you to actually participate in something like this. You're going to get, since the numbers are so small, it's just the math. You just got to do the math. You got to get a certain number of people. Probably a good test, if you thought you wanted to do this, a good test would be to do a survey and see what your response rate is, right? So if you send out a survey to your audience and you get 3 people to come back, well, doing a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo campaign may not necessarily be your best option, you know, do something like that. If you get hundreds to respond back, well, you got a good chance. In most of these cases, sometimes you've got to find a one big donor who will come in and kind of get it going and get it kickstarted. That's kind of the key. Everything I've seen where people do crowdfunding or whatever, it's usually a big donor who comes in and does matching or something like that, that kind of helps out. So I know we have a call.
Yes. And speaking of surveys, we'll be giving away a free year at the School of Podcasting later. Ending in 3249. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey guys, this is Ken Blanchard.
There he is, buddy. So,
thank you, man, so much.
And, it was very cool, and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. What was it like on your side?
Man, I almost cried. I mean, because you're Dave Jackson, and you actually, like, helped the little guy.
So, hey, Ken, I want to make sure I got your audio right. Which way?
Yeah, hold him for a second. I don't think we can hear him. Ken, hold one sec.
There we go.
All right.
Now, if you say...
There we go. Awesome.
There we go.
Now everybody
started over.
Yeah, he was just saying that it was got so. So give us the you're starting this new thing.
Yeah, after 7 years of podcasting, following you guys and all the best practices, because I've made so many mistakes over the 7 years of doing stuff, and 20 years of being online. that I decided to try this crowdfunding thing, but not necessarily for the money. The money is like secondary. The first is I was talking to a marketing guy. I think I even queried Seth Godin one time, and he actually responded back. And he said there's a huge chasm between people who give away free stuff and the people who actually pay. So in actually trying to do this crowdfunding thing, I'm trying to see if my concept is worthy of money. And unlike a lot of things that I've done, this one actually has some buzz. A whole bunch of older contacts that I've had over the last 10 years have said, hey, send me a proposal over and we'll see if we can add you to our advertising budget or whatever. So it might actually work. So that's where I'm going.
How hard was it to set up the campaign?
Indiegogo is really easy. It's easier than Kickstarter. Kickstarter requires you to have an abstract, a concept, has to be an artsy kind of thing. And if it doesn't go, you get nothing. Indiegogo, it's if somebody donates, you get the money. I mean, they take a little chunk out of it, but it's real cash. So if you don't make it to 100%, you're still a dollar ahead than you were yesterday with nothing.
Oh, that's cool. Because I was going to say, what's the big difference between,
Kickstarter? One's all or nothing.
And this one is if they donate, you get it, and you're closer to where you were. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Money does motivate you, though. I mean, you can actually see when somebody gives you $20, man, it's like $100 when you're broke.
Well, and I was seeing where, you know, there were a couple people giving you the, you know, which is cool. Nothing against giving $1 or $5. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. You know, and it's like I go to movies and I spend, you know, by the time I buy a ticket and popcorn, I'm out $20 and I got to fill up my own Coke. That's the thing that's driving me crazy lately. And I just went,
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not going to the movies tonight, so I'm going to give it to my buddy Ken. So I was like, all right, well, cool.
That's why I got emotional. I did, man, for real. I was like, wow, Dave Jackson. I was like, let me start sniffling here. I mean, no joke, man. Cool.
Awesome. Well, best of luck with that, man. Do you have like a date that stops then, obviously?
Yeah, I'm going for Valentine's Day. It's 30 days to see where I am. And the bad part was I'm starting this shooting, hunting, and outdoor fishing kind of a show during a time when the largest shooting, hunting, and outdoor fishing convention was in Vegas this week, and I missed it.
Mm.
So my timing was a little off. I should have been at the show announcing this thing, but that's okay.
Next year, right?
Next year. We go there strong.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Awesome.
All right,
man. Anything else? Oh, thank you. Enjoy the weekend, buddy.
I'm just glad to be a part of this thing. Every once in a while, I throw like a sad commentary or a stupid joke just to keep things light. But I love you guys. And the folks in the chat room rock.
It is. It's a lot of fun, man. So, all right. Well, enjoy your weekend.
All right, man. I'm back on the chat.
There you go. We'll see you.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, Ken will actually, he doesn't know this. We, on Monday, on the podcast review show, we did a little baby show on your show intro. And Eric K. Johnson, the podcast talent coach, was listening to Ken's show and just was explaining, Ken's just such a unique guy. And so we play a couple clips of Ken on that show. So, Jim, let's go. The one thing I was looking for this morning, and I had some minor issues with my camera. That's why we started a smidge late. Is I wanted to find some cool, like, hey, you won music kind of thing. And I was,
oh, yeah.
And I was like,
some drum roll or something like
so
that.
So we got nothing. So
that's okay.
But I did a thing, and I ended up with 90 pages of notes from this thing.
This thing was a survey?
A survey. I wanted to know. And it's interesting because, you know, I've always wondered, you know, do people like the hour-long format? And I'm talking about the school of podcasting, not so much ask the podcast coach. And, yeah, overwhelmingly, people are like, yeah, please keep it at an hour. And I'm like, really? Because I always, you know, I went through and I looked at this, you know, and it was like most everybody listens to the whole thing. Some people listen to almost all of it, you know. And then there were some people that said, if you – because I said I'm thinking about doing a show where it's going to be one topic, about 15 minutes. And some people said, yeah, okay. But a lot of people said, I hate short shows. They said, what I would do with that show is I would look at the topic and that would determine if I listened to it or not. So, but I got some interesting insights as to why people don't podcast. My audience is a lot more female than I thought it was going to be. Because it used to be like, you know, 90 male, and I think it's like now 80-20, which I thought was interesting.
Well, 80 on the female side to 20, or on the guy side?
Let me pull up my stats. 80 on the male side, yeah. It's still predominantly male, but it's always been just ridiculously male, you know. And I will pull up my stats, but while I'm doing that, if you could please... And just for the record, Jim, right, we have not talked about this. There's no...
No, yeah, no, it's completely...
You're completely blind as to what you're doing.
I really don't even know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, I just need you to pick a number, any number, between 1 and 103.
1 and 103, and the first number that popped into my head was 67.
All right, so I'm scrolling... Here, hold on a second. Let's... yeah, okay, I don't have anybody's email address, so I can actually... Let me share my screen. And the number you picked was 67?
67. 6-7, that is 67. Right. Not so, that I've ever done bingo before or anything.
So you
like
should
that.
See an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And number 67 is Henry Jasper. You are officially a winner of the of a year subscription at the School of Podcasting.
Who is that again?
I know you were going to do that. I'm like, you know what? As soon as I close the spreadsheet, I'm like, what was his name again? Henry Jasper.
Henry Jasper is the winner.
So
congratulations, Henry.
Yes. Thank you very much to everybody who filled out the survey. It is really, I used PollDaddy, and the only kind of, they want $200 to be the, if you did a lot of polls, and I liked PollDaddy because they make it really easy to put your poll anywhere. Like there are some plugins, but they don't really give you like an embed code. Usually it's just a short code on your website. So I love the fact that PollDaddy's owned by WordPress. But I didn't feel like putting out $200 so I could export the information. So I was just, this morning I was looking at it, copying it and pasting it into my Excel spreadsheet, which wasn't hard, but that's what I was doing this morning. But yeah, let me,
But you got some good, I think the point is you got some really good data back.
Oh yeah.
From your listeners, right?
Like, I mean, and yes, that's a $99 value.
But now remember on the hour thing, right? I think there's got to be a caveat here with the hour thing.
Uh-huh.
The 103 you got back are most likely your most engaged listeners, right?
Right?
So they're going to tend to go, let's go longer, right? It's still a little biased,
right?
Because this is a self-selected survey. It's not sample. It's not even census. You did self-selected. You tend to get your most engaged, your most excited folks. So it doesn't surprise me. We did this as well as our podcast, and they always say, "Yeah, go longer." Well, of course, the ones who respond want to hear
that's
it.
Good point.
So now that being said, Dave, I enjoy your show, whether it's a half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour, and so just keep going with the length that makes sense for you, right? From that standpoint, you did a short one the other day, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll move on to the next podcast when I'm done. So.
And the next one's going to be probably, so you can see this is where I pasted in all the answers, and it was just, you know, I had 103 people. So, you know.
Yeah, I think those verbatims are what's key is when they give you, when they write stuff in, that's some really good stuff there.
And I can see all the different, you know, some people use Dog Catcher, some people use Galaxy Note 2. You know, I asked them how they were consuming the show. What I'm looking for is the one about male and female. Nope, driving in my car. So I was asking kind of how did you consume it and where. I still don't understand how to read this thing. I asked, what are your favorite parts of the show? And it looks like clips of Dave on other shows is the most popular, followed by the last 5 and 5, product reviews, interviews, because of my podcast stories, and last but not least, podcasting news. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out is like what's good. I would think the bigger the graph, the more important. Weighted rank. Yeah, 5.2. I need to go back and read how.
Yeah, you might want to, because it seems to be the other way around. They've ranked it top to bottom, but go back to that stat again, real quick.
Yeah,
I would think I'm gonna do my own informal survey, podcasting news, because of my podcast. Yeah, I think based on, I would agree with this list, but reading it backwards. So
yeah,
our podcasting news is the most important because that's why we listen, right?
Yeah, it is at the top. Then, it says rank now over here, weighted rank over here, rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So
yeah, I mean, the Dave on other shows is great, but it just promotes other shows for the most part, right? I mean, that's so, is it helpful? Oh, sure, if you're looking for other shows, but podcasting news is really, really helpful.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, but let me see here. Are you subscribed? How often do you listen to the show? Every week? How long do you listen? All the way, 77%, 22% most of it, and then some of it less.
Again, that's weighted because of the most engaged.
And then where's the female part? Maybe it's not as big. We're going to get here and I'll be like, oh, I was wrong. I forget. I just remember, okay, there's my thing about I'm starting a new show. So it took me a while to copy and paste this stuff, but it wasn't that bad and it saved me $200. So I'm like, all right, there we go. Oh, that's where I did. Yeah, 82% is male, 17% is female. And it used to be more like, you know, 95% and 5%.
I've been noticing a lot more gals in the podcasting community, which I think is good.
The only thing I'm kind of, I don't know that it's not a pet peeve. I don't look at women as like, your podcast is special because you're women. I think it's cool because we need more of you. But like Podcaster News has a whole thing where they spotlight women in podcasting. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. How come we're not spotlighting men in podcasting then?
Because we get spotlighted all the time. It's just the way it is. Don't go down that road, Dave. Don't do it.
Yes. Ryan K. Parker is talking about I coined a phrase this weekend.
Oh, that was great, by the way. I laughed for about 20 minutes.
It is, of course, casturbation. And this is the act of A, speaking, to hear your own voice and deliver no value of your, you know, to your audience, or B, doing things for your podcast that in the end, like I did a survey. I spent a lot of time on that survey. Why? Because I want it. That will directly, you know, that's going to help line up. What do I talk about first on the show? It helps me understand maybe, you know, to a certain extent, how people, how long they like it. You know, one of the questions I asked was, how would you describe this podcast to other people? That was a really cool one because I'm going to take all those phrases and redo the description of the School of Podcasting because it sounds weird. I'm going to put my about should be in the native tongue of my listener. So, you know, people are talking about how it's always fun and energetic and blah, 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 and things like that. So I just, I get involved with people that there's one, and there's, it's a beautiful thing when you have somebody who's so passionate about, I can't wait to start my podcast. But they've got the cart like in another state. It's so far in front of the horse, and they're looking, and I'm like, oh, time out. Hold on. We, you know, and I keep saying, what is your show about? Tell me about your first episode. And I've got this, and I've already bought the ATR 2100. It's great. But I was looking at this other thing and they're like, whoa, we checked off microphone. That one's done. Tell me about your first episode. Okay. And I was thinking about going to streaming and do that. And then, hold on. Tell me about your first episode. And they just, you know, so I get that. And I was like, okay, you're doing all this activity, but you're not being productivity. If that's, you know, you're not being productive. And I was like, ah, so that's one. And then, I just, to me, I always try to bring like, Monday show. I did two things, and we'll talk about this anyway, but, Rob Walsh from Libsyn and myself got on Ringer this week to test it. And while he was on, we talked about Twitter bombing. And I then interviewed a Twitter bomber, which is really interesting. And so that's going to be Monday's show. And I was thinking about that today in the shower, and I'm like, what's the takeaway? What's the takeaway? Don't be a Twitter bomber. And I'm like, okay. What else is the audience going to take away? Well, they're going to learn, like, numbers. Like, are my numbers going to go up? And like, yeah.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They will, for sure.
I was like, wow.
It does work. It does. It's effective. It works.
Yeah. If you want your numbers to go up. Now, if you want your audience to go up. Yeah.
For a certain period of time, yeah. You know, are you getting real engagement?
Right. So that's the takeaway is, yes, you can get your numbers to go up, but you're not going to grow your audience. And there's a difference. So I was kind of like, so that's my whole thing is, you know, I've heard, and I'm not naming names here, but I've heard other podcasters, because occasionally I'll just go into iTunes and like do, you know, podcast roulette. I'm like, all right, let's pick a random thing and hit play, and well, you know, and I'll hear somebody start off and they'll be like, all right, welcome to the, you know, whatever. This is the dancing beer show, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's Monday, and not really sure what I'm going to talk about today, but I want to get the show out. You know, they're really striving to make sure they hit their weekly thing. And so, you know, last night I was watching Revenge on ABC, and you're like, isn't this the beer cast or, you know, the whatever? And I'm like, and I was like, so there's an example of somebody who is just, you know, I need to get the show out. But then I'm like, all right, well, you're casturbating. So
it's a good term.
Yeah. And I think this week I just kept coming across it. I'm like, yeah. Okay. And that's where we get into the, you know, you don't want to should people, but I think there are best practices, and it's just hard to, you know, kind of sit back and go, well, that's, I understand where you're going, but let's go back to what your content is about.
Yeah. I always tend to think, you know, your content will find you out. And so, you know, karma has a way of, I think, coming back around. If you're out doing that stuff, I don't think, you know, certainly guys like Leo Laporte did not start their networks on Twitter bombing, right? They did not start their networks on buying Facebook ads. I remember when that network started, and it was word of mouth. You know, hey, have you heard? I mean, that news spread like wildfire in the tech arena. And he produces great content. Now, that's, you know, you may agree or disagree on that as well, but it's, you know, he's been very successful. NPR's had that. They've been very successful. They didn't Twitter bomb. They didn't do that stuff. So, you know, I still think success breeds success. And if you're gonna do this, you got to be good at it, and you got to create a following. And by the way, there isn't always a magic formula for that. Sometimes you just get lucky.
Yeah,
right? You're in the right place at the right time, doing the right stuff. So I read that article and it was, I think it was Byron
Brian Orr.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. He followed me on Twitter, and so I appreciate that, and a little connection back and forth. And by the way, I like the conversation on Twitter more than I like just Twitter. So that's I love talking to people on Twitter. But he wrote an article where he kind of confessed, hey, I did this, and he showed his numbers, and he came to some conclusions, and he wasn't judgmental. That was what I appreciated about it. It was not like you should or you shouldn't. It was like, here it is, yeah, type thing. And
here's, here's my numbers before. Here's my numbers during.
I did it.
Here's my numbers afterwards.
I did it. And I appreciated that. It was very transparent. We've been very negative about Twitter bombing over the last couple of weeks. It would be easy to just go run and hide at this point if you've been doing it. He just kind of came out and said, hey, look, I thought it was going to be a good deal. It turned out maybe not so much. And, you know. So it's, you know, growth is still growth when it's organic and you have great content. So just work on that content, right? Get good stuff out there and be you, be yourself. And by the way, we all can't have, there can't be, you know, let's just say there's 10,000 podcasts. There's way more than that. Let's just say there's 10,000. Only a small fraction of them can be serial. So we're all, no matter how hard we try, right, the market just can't absorb those kinds of numbers. So just kind of know where you're at in your audience and have fun doing it, and you know, do it for the reasons you want to do it, and then quit, like you just said, quit obsessing about it and do it, right? Just get out there and like you said, I mean, if we have one more conversation about microphones on Facebook, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. Let's move on to what are we actually doing that's successful? I would love to see more conversations and not people asking. This is another question that gets asked on the Facebook group all the time. What are you doing for marketing? Well, there's lots of, how about people putting success stories in there where they've had successful marketing? And maybe that's on us. When I say us, I mean the podcasters, for those of us who are finding things successful, maybe we don't want to share them, right? Kind of deal. Cause I don't necessarily see a lot of detailed, and there's some, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying nobody, all of a sudden now I'm going to get like a ton of emails. So people, I said, okay, not saying that. I'm sure some of you are, but it would be great to get to the action of it and how we're being successful doing this or what kind of good content are we having. And just because you think it's good doesn't mean it's necessarily good either. So, you know, you got to kind of weigh that in.
Yeah. It's always interesting. I always kind of wonder, like, did you Google this at all? Because it's not like the answer's not out there.
No, I know. Well, I think there's too much information out there.
Yeah.
That's probably the problem. We went from having nothing to now everybody's got their, you know, now there are anti-ATR 2100. When we talk about microphones, there's, because it's the thing, right? Because
right,
it's now there's people, because there's always got to be someone, and I've been this way too. I'm a contrarian sometimes. There's always got to be somebody who fights for the underdog. You know, when the iPhone came out, I went with the Palm Pre. When, you know, I sometimes want to fight for the underdog.
Right.
And so I'm guilty. I'm kind of guilty of doing that as well. But Dave, I think there's too much information. And then I think some people just don't look. They jump in that group and, or in those groups, Facebook, Google, whatever it might be. They just jump in and they're like, I just want the information right now. Or I want the discussion. Man, there's been some heated discussions on the Facebook group as of late. Wow.
Yeah.
Those have gotten, man, it's, I think we've reached that critical mass in those groups now where that's going to start happening. You know, maybe the camps are dividing and, you know, I know this, where two or more are gathered, conflict is there. So it's one of those kinds of things. But it's gotten a little heated. It's got a little heated in those groups.
Yeah. I see. Here's a great question. So a podcast like that every now and then can be helpful. Don't go where? Well,
that's back to my comment when I said don't go there, Dave. I think that was when you were talking about
Okay. I'm going to hold this up to the screen. This is Ringer. And as you can see, there's nothing to it. It's an app for the iPhone. I was kind of disappointed because originally I thought this was going to be and if I were to say here, I want to add a call. I add somebody's email, and I basically, what it does is, what does it ask for here? Their email, the date when I want to call them, and then a message, and I send email invite, and you actually get an email with a code on it. When you click on the code, you launch the Ringer app. So step one, install the free Ringer app, and it takes you right to Ringer, and if your friend is there, it comes on and says, you're being recorded. And if you're the person that started the call, it says recording in 3, 2, 1, and it goes, and then you have a stop button. That is it. There's almost no settings to this thing. And I tried it. Rob and I, when it first came out, Rob from Libsyn, he's like, hey, let's be Ringer buddies. And I'm like, all right, cool. I get out of work at 5. So we do. I sent him a thing. And when I went to do it, either he couldn't connect or something, but it crashed and burned. Oh, what it was is we connected, and then my phone went to the, like, what do you call it when your phone goes to the black screen, the non-active, you know, I guess, whatever. You know, usually it's there, but I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it just goes into power save mode or whatever.
And in the process, it killed the call, I think.
Oh.
And so then Rob called me back, and I just sat there and kept, you know, touching the phone, so it didn't do that basically, but it worked fine. It kicks out a file that's 128 stereo, sampled not at 44.1 though. That's the one that I went, really, 22 whatever half of 44.1 is. Sounded okay, and I'll be talking about that in the future on the School of Podcasting. But for now, assuming, now they did say, look, this is brand new, you're gonna find bugs. So don't be calling your most important person in the world on this. But, you know, if you have somebody who has a phone, you know, and they're not very techie, this would be a solution because, you know, the only thing is I was both Rob and I were not using our phone. I'm plugging it in via my iRig, and Rob was trying to use some sort of iRig, but it only recognized the earphone kind of jack or the phone. And Rob was trying to go in via the whatever lightning bolt thing to his, he had some sort of iRig microphone. So it was interesting. And we'll see how that goes. There's a lot of these now coming out. One is called ClearPod. I saw like three of them this week that came out. One, and this kind of bums me out when people do that. They're like, hey, we have this new service for you, blah, blah, blah. Come over here to sign up. And I did. And then the system isn't ready yet. PodClear. I believe it's just podclear.com. And here again, from what I saw, it looks like a web-based. Because I thought it was going to be a thing where you like log into a website, they log into the website, and off you go. But yeah, and PodClear actually has pricing. If you do two sessions per month, 6 months of storage, two remote guests, $8 a month. You know, $12 a month for four sessions a month. So if you do like a weekly, and you can have up to unlimited remote guests. So, and I'm like, okay, cool. Sign me up. I want to kick the tire. It's not working yet. So you have my email address and you've given me nothing in return for it. I was not happy with the PodClear people. I'm like, if you, you know, because the email that I got sent made it sound like it was running, not sign up to be notified when it's running. I'm like, okay. So I've emailed them back and forth and we'll see, but it's going to be, people are trying to make recording interviews a little easier. And I see the chat room is exploding.
Oh yeah. They're getting crazy out there. It's good.
Yeah. What's going on? Am I missing anything?
No, we're just talking about search. There's been some questions about, I mentioned it's easy to search Facebook in the groups. And if you just go out to a group, I'll pull up the podcasters group. It's one of the ones I follow a lot in. I write a lot of posts, erase them when I'm out there. But if you go to your group and look in the upper right-hand corner, it says search this group. And if we go up there and type in ATR, I know I'm not showing you this, but if you go, well, maybe that doesn't work as well as I thought. Hold on. Let's see here. I typed in ATR 2100. It says it can't find any search results. Maybe that search is just on people. Micro, microphones. I may have to retract. Dave, I might have to retract on that.
Uh-oh.
It's not as helpful as I thought. I had searched on this the other day and had done something around.
Maybe why that's why we're getting the 400 thread on.
Exactly. Maybe that search doesn't work. It seems to work pretty well for people if you're searching for people in there, which would make sense. But if I type in, let's do one more. We'll do audio, AUDIO Technica. CA. Yeah, boy, that's a bust. Okay. I'll retract. I'm good. I'm big at this. I'll retract. Sorry, Facebook community people, the search doesn't work on Facebook. There is a search button up there, and I thought I'd searched by topic before, but I guess not. When you go to the podcasters group and I searched on ATR 2100 or Audio Technica or microphone, I get nothing. If I search by, let's search by Dave Jackson. If I put in Dave J-A-C-K, so when, if I put in Dave Jackson, it finds all the posts with Dave Jackson in it. So there you go. That's the beauty of getting called.
If you're looking for a person, it'll find them. If you're looking for
finding people where you post, it appears. I haven't done a scientific survey on this, and I might even be hesitant to say that's actually working. But so maybe, yeah, I'll go back on that.
I know WordPress search is horrible.
Yeah, you know, you're pretty sure I've checked that before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the chat room's
maybe
got some. Yeah. Eileen says Facebook search is the worst. I could have swore I've used that before, but maybe not.
Hmm.
Yeah, and she says the other problem is that people don't even know it's there. Yeah, it is kind of hidden.
True.
It is kind of hidden up there. So, yeah, well, okay. I shall have been retracted.
Well, we'll go ahead. Man, that went quick today.
I know.
Really, really fast.
It really does.
Because I have it muted. I'm like, why don't I hear that? But as we head out the door, I know this Monday, Cleveland Podcasters Meetup. Jim?
Omaha Podcasters Meetup as well, Monday the 26th here in Omaha. Let me know if you are in the Omaha area and like to attend.
I might actually have somebody coming from Indiana. She's going to drive 4 hours. And I was like, you know, if you want, we could probably pull you in on a hangout or something. I'm like, she's like, no, I want to come in person. I'm like, okay, cool. That's awesome. And we're going to be talking about how to actually do what we just did. Use Facebook to search and Google Plus and communities and taking notes to find out what should my next topic be. And another one, I'll throw this one out. I just actually got my email. What is the name of this website? It is Sway, S-W-A-Y-Y. So it's sway.co is a website. You kind of go in. You know, it's been so long since I started up with this thing. I think you go in and you tell it what topics you're looking for, and it goes out and scours the internet and sends you an email every day that says, here's some things you might want to talk about. Yeah, so Sway analyzes your data inventory and user behavior to, yeah, it looks at your Twitter feed and then says, here's what other people might like in your Twitter thing. It's free. And I wouldn't say it's, you know, in terms of really like wow kind of stuff, but it has given me the occasional article, and it takes two clicks. So anyway, thanks to the chat room. Join us every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. And we're out.
And you really nailed that one. Nicely done.
I it's weird because I'm reading the internet and I'm doing this other stuff, and I look down and I'm like, hey, I got 10 seconds. Well, that's the other thing. That song actually ends at about 10 seconds. Yeah, there's like 10 seconds of like, okay, so but anywho.
So. You know, it's funny, I'm complaining about Facebook and the Google groups, and you know, yeah, I follow them every day, right? I go out there and I read them, and I don't always comment, but there's some good groups. I mean, there's some good information out there and helpful. You know, it'd be a good discussion at what point do numbers get unwieldy in groups like that. I think there probably needs to be some kind of social experiment that done that determines, you know, once you get to a certain number, because I do find them not to be as productive as they used to be in some ways. But then again, maybe I'm jaded because I've been out there too long.
Well, that's, you know, the thing that I heard that I was like, I never even thought of it this way, is, you know, there are those folks that have been doing it a while at this point. And one of the cool things about podcasting is it's not radio, it's not TV. You can say whatever you want, and it's perfect for like the rebel, right? The person wants to, I'm going to say what I got to say kind of person. And that person doesn't really want to hear any kind of should stuff. Like, here are the best practices. And that's what's kind of interesting is I was talking with him, and he's like, man, I'm tired of people, you know, all these guys and these weird podcast egos. And I'm like, egos? What are you talking about? You know, and he's like, yeah, this guy's telling me this and that. And I'm like, okay. Well, I kind of just talked to him. I'm like, well, obviously you can do whatever you want. I'm like, but here's the pros and cons of that. You can do whatever you want. But he was kind of like, yeah, I'm sick of all these, you know, people, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I never, like, he made it sound like there was an us and a them. Kind of thing.
It's easy to do, especially as more people get involved. I have to work hard, just full transparency. I have to work hard to check my attitude sometimes with it. I get, you know, I might be in the middle of the day. I might be working on something and I pop over there for a second. I get a notification or I pop over and then I'm like, oh, not again. So, you know, and hey, it's people, they're just trying. Right. And so it's just one of those kinds of things. It's like, I probably need to be better about, you know, playing in that space. So it's tough. It is tough because then, you know, the one group on Google, Podcasting Technology Resources, has, let's see, where's the number of, somewhere on here, there's a number. Oh, 2,000 in that group. And then
you always have to pay attention because for a while I kept hitting the wrong group.
Yeah, there's a podcasters group that has about 5,000 in it.
Yeah, because the one day Daniel's like, why do you keep posting in the other group? And I'm like, what other group? And it was like, oh, I was in, because I think the one you want, podcasters, I think that's the one, right? Or is it?
No, I think both are fine.
Yeah.
But it's, there's not one, a matter of
there's
either
one that
or.
Was started by Mike, right? Mike's the moderator, Phillips, of podcasting technology.
Yeah, he's the podcasting technology resources.
Okay, which is only 2,000.
2,000.
Yeah, and then 2,000. The podcasters one is 5,000. And for
5,
a while, 000. I kept putting it in the other one because it had more members.
Well, and then people double post. And so you're seeing it twice in the same place. That's where it gets a little messy. It's like one of the – no, I think both have their – following, both have great information in them. You know, I follow both on a fairly regular basis. So I do, you know, the big problem is self-promotion. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It's like, why would you self-promote to a group that's probably already overloaded on podcasts? So if you're jumping in there one time to throw your podcast in there thinking you're going to get listeners, that might be the worst group to put your, you know, it's you're preaching to the choir, right? You might find a few who are in your niche and didn't know. And I've seen that happen before where somebody will come in, oh, thanks for telling me. I've been looking for a podcast like that. But I hope as a podcaster, if you're doing that, you're not thinking you're going to get anything meaningful out of that.
Because
most of us are probably already overloaded on podcasts we're listening to anyway.
Well, and we also know how to find a podcast. So So if we were looking for a podcast like yours, we probably would have found it by now. It's like, okay. So I know I occasionally will take a little heat because in the School of Podcasting's Facebook group, you know, there's I will delete that the minute you put it in there. Now you can put something on your website. I talked about this on my show, that kind of thing. But if it's just like episode number 36 is out, I'm like, no, it's not. Sorry. You know, and it says right at the top, this is not for self-promotion. We do a thing at the School of Podcasting. I put it out once a month. I call it the yearbook. So anybody new that signed up, you know, go over, sign up the yearbook, and it's a cool little PDF. So if you want to find another podcast, it's like my own little directory. And unfortunately, I started that 2 years ago. Man, I wish I'd done that when I first started it. I've just done it for 2 years. But it's a handy little book. I'm like, here, if you're looking for other like-minded podcasters, you know, here's
my list. We've had in the Facebook group, we've had all this discussion about self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's okay if you, as long as you don't start the thread with a self-promoting idea,
right?
That's okay. But once somebody asks a question, you can self-promote all you want in the answers to that. I think people have figured that part out, right? And so they're waiting for somebody to ask a question. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody created fake Facebook accounts so that they could post the question and then answer right. it with a real account, right? Type deal. Because, man, some of the answers are just so, you know, and we had this whole discussion about should you disclose or not disclose? Like, you know, for our friends who are, and you know, Mike Dell, who's out in the chat, was involved in this conversation as well. Should you disclose or not disclose? Certainly when somebody's asking about host providers, and then you've got right. several people out there who work for LipCenter, Blueberry or what have you, you know, do you need to disclose or not disclose? So it's getting interesting as this thing gets more and more competitive. It's sometimes it's less about helping each other and more about promoting certain products that are out there. And that's such a fine line, Dave. And I'm not going to say I've got the right answer on it. I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about it as I've been watching these conversations. You yourself, I mean, we had a big discussion, but we talked about this last week. You know, you put in there about podcast awards, right? And
yeah.
There's just some people who are pretty bitter about the way they do that.
Yeah, that was interesting. Because it got off topic almost immediately.
Well, yeah.
Well, kind of.
It did. No, it did. Daniel says in the Facebook group, he's been accused of spamming for that kind of stuff. This is the hard part, right? Is Daniel creates really good help content for podcasters that it makes sense, right? Somebody's got a question. He's like, hey, look, I've already talked about that. And yeah, that can be taken as self-promotion because it's promoting his site. But his site is about helping people on those kinds of things, right? So this is where it gets really gray when you're talking about self-promotion. So I'm just saying that I think part of the problem, it's a little inconsistent in the, as long as you don't, if you don't start the post with a self-promotion, everything else can be that way afterwards. Or I think the mod in that group would say, well, if it's good enough content, someone else will bring it up. So does that mean then I should know all of Daniel's resources so that I post it on Daniel's behalf? And could you start a little swap service with somebody where you're like, hey, would you watch the group? And when, right? I mean, that's the way the game works, right? We game this stuff.
Right.
And to make it work. So it's hard. I get it. I mean, I'm not saying right or wrong on these kinds of things. I think it's a difficult conversation. And I think the groups have gotten big enough now that we're only going to have more of these problems, not less. And maybe we're going through the life cycle of a group in that, you know, they're small and they're helpful and everybody's engaged. And as they get more users, they get more controversy, and that controversy leads to less engagement. And then the groups die. You know, maybe that is the life cycle of a group, and you just can't stop it.
Yeah. We do have a good question in the chat room. It's an easy answer. John asks, if you submit a podcast to iTunes with specific album art, is it difficult to change your album art later? No. Piece of cake. Here's the big key to this. If you upload, let's say it's just called albumart.jpg. When you upload the new one, do not name it albumart.jpg. Name it albumart2.jpg, because otherwise iTunes is likely to look at it and go, oh, I've already got it, so it won't update it. I've also seen it update like that. I've also seen it take a week. I'm not sure what that is. I think it has to do with how often iTunes comes around to sniff your feed. But yeah, it's super easy to do. I've done it a couple times, but that's the big key. Don't, you know, make sure it's under the right specs. It's got to be, you know, the right size and under whatever it is, half a, whatever it is, 250. I forget the exact. I'd have to look it up, specs for that. But in terms of size, you know, you can't upload a GIF. It's got to be JPEG or PNG. But then there's the PNG has an asterisk.
JPEG is best.
Yeah. And that whole matters. So yeah, piece of cake to do. So if you're using PowerPress, just upload the new one. If you're in Libsyn, go into settings. And so, but yeah, pretty easy to do. But yeah, Facebook is always fun.
Yeah, it's just, it's the dynamics of a group, yeah. You know, that are tough to do. I mean, it's starting a lot of, you know, a lot of podcasters, not so much anymore I'm seeing, but there was a trend 3 or 4 years ago. You started a podcast, then you built forums.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
God, forums are just so hard to get right that you got to work at it. If you want to talk about hustling now, they can be very, very valuable if you get them right. I mean,
it's awesome.
Oh, our home server show community forums are dynamite, and they're tightly moderated, and there's a lot of nice guys in there, and the conversation stays non-trollish in 99% of the cases. But man, Dave McCabe, who started that, he worked hard on those forums to make them work. And Mike Howard's been trying to start a forum over his JPEG to RAW. He's got one going, but man, it is work. But when they start rolling, there's amazing opportunities in there from both a monetization and an engagement standpoint.
Well, that, and if you're a podcaster, it's great content. You can look and see what people are talking about and like, oh, I need to talk about that on the show. Or you'll a lot of times they're commenting on what was on the show, and then you can bring that back to the show that said, hey, I want to do a follow-up, yeah, that whole nine yards. But yeah, I just know I've tried them. I think Ray had them. I don't know if Daniel's tried them or not, but I've tried them twice. I think Ray has done them twice. For a while, at least, and I haven't done them in probably 5 years. Bots would just come in and
oh, yeah,
take over.
You
just log in, and it's nothing but Viagra ads, and you're like, ugh. And I had all these, you know, different things to do. So that's when I finally, when I was doing the podcasting in 6 weeks class, and I tried, there was an online forum system that I'm like, oh, I'll try this. And everybody said the same thing. Because it was another website, because it was another login, even though I made it a pretty link, they're like, can we do it in Facebook? Because I'm kind of already there. And that's when I launched the Facebook group. I weirdly wish I would have done Google Plus, but interesting. So forums can be cool, but at least the last couple times I've done them,
it's just hard because people hide behind their words, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like driving a car. You know, you would never, if you were on the street walking and someone stepped in front of you and you bumped into them, you would not punch them in the face. Right? But as soon as that happens in a car, people flip out, yeah. Right? And they're yelling at you because they're hiding behind glass, right? Now,
oh, yeah.
I think a lot of times the same things happen in these online communities,
oh, yeah,
because you're hiding behind glass. And it doesn't feel real, and you can be, and it's been interesting. I've worked, for my day job, I host a bunch of communities as well. And we have a couple thousand folks in our groups on the Gallup side. And every once in a while I get a snarky comment from somebody, towards me. And it's amazing how that conversation changes when I ping them directly and go, dude, are you calling me out? You know, kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Hey, we could have probably taken care of this in private as opposed to just blasting it all out over Facebook. That's not good for anybody, you know.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was being, you know, is what I hear. I didn't realize I was being that way. I'll go take it down. That's that effect that happens when you're just blasting things out. So it's a big social experiment a lot on Facebook. And I just, I've gotten a lot better at typing it and looking at it. And then go, do I really want to? And I almost erase more than I actually post anymore.
Mm.
Put it in there and I go, is this helpful or am I just being a jackass? Right. Mm. Kind of deal. And then most of the time it's like, yeah, this isn't helpful. I'm just going to take this out. If there's controversy in that, just take it behind the group doesn't need, we don't need to air out. You don't need to air out your dirty laundry in front of everybody. Make that thing private, you know? just get it private. It's just so much of a better way of handling things. And I've just noticed it diffuses a lot of times. It diffuses the process. Just DM them and go behind it.
Yeah. Joe asked in the chat room, am I still using Call 8? I am. And yes, I, like you, occasionally get messages that are 10 seconds long that are simply, yeah, it's one of those things where it's nice. Cause there are, I have some people, I'm pretty sure Fred Castaneda has me on speed dial that, and I do like the fact that in the podcast app, you know, if you put your phone number, it makes it clickable and they can call right there. So I am not anti phone number, but it does drive me nuts. I had a spell there for a while where I was just getting, because you can go in and, you know, block that phone number from calling you again and call 8. So it's kind of like forms. It's like, if you want, you can really go in and block people and things like that. But yeah, it got really out of control. Like in November, I was just getting like every day I was getting a call for like 10 seconds.
Don't you think that's telemarketing auto dialers?
Yep, absolutely. That's what it is.
Yeah. And you got put on a list.
Yeah. So,
you could put that number on the do not call registry.
That's a good thing.
Are they still doing that? Is that still a thing?
That's a good question. I know I get a call. I listened to the rest of the message. Somebody will call you and they'll say, you know, small business, blah, blah, blah. If you're a small business, you're missing out on local Google search, blah, 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 Google local search, blah, blah, blah. Press one if you're the – I'm like, all right, press one. And the person goes, yes, is this the small business owner? I'm like, yes, it is. Hi, how are you? And they're like, yes, we're calling about the local Google search. And I'll play along and let them read their script. And I'll be like, so are you guys really with Google? Click. I mean, it's hilarious. Or – I forget what I had, but it's the minute I ask a question that shows I'm not, you know, whatever, 77 with my print shop and I don't know anything, you know, about the internet, you know, they know, oh, I can't host this person, and they hang up. But I was getting like one, I was getting, the one week I got two a day. And so I finally listened, it says press two to take yourself off this message. And I'm like, okay, because I was trying to get their name. I'm like, what's the name of your company again? Click.
Yeah. I've started, when I get those, when I get unsolicited emails, I started answering back with like my podcast link. So it's like, hey, this is great. I want to let you know, I've got a podcast I'd love you to listen to. My podcast link in there or whatever. Cause hey, if they're going to send me unsolicited email, I am more than happy to send it back to them.
Right.
And I did get out of the one I've done this a handful of times. It's not like I do it for everyone. But one time a guy sent a note back and it was a smiley face and he said, seems we're in the same business.
Ah.
That was it. Right. It was like, okay, he got it. He got me.
I had a thing. Let me see if I can find the email from a virtual assistant company. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever heard about this and that? And I said, actually I have. I said I refer people to, you know, I say that if they've got the budget, it's definitely a good way. You know, you shouldn't be doing anything that you could have somebody else do and free yourself up to work on your content. So he emails me back. That's great advice, blah, blah, blah. We also offer yada, 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 yada. Have you ever advised people to do that? And I emailed him back. I said, I don't want to be rude. Can you get to the chase? Like, do you have an affiliate program? What's the name? Like, let's just get to the pitch because I know it's coming. You're setting me up, and he just emailed me back, we do have an affiliate program, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, send it over. I'll look at your website. Maybe I'll use your service, test it. But it was just like, you know, he just kept asking me questions, and I'm like, this is not podcast related. It's not – I know you're going to say, you know, would you like to partner? I'm like, let's just – can we just jump to the end of the story?
Yeah, I just delete those emails.
Yeah.
It's so much work to work through. But, yeah. It happens, right? It's out there. That's one of those things that absolutely happens.
Yeah, that's where the Cryptex, I think it's CRY, that Daniel turned me on to. The it's a plugin that you can have your email on your website, so you don't have to put like, you know, Dave, you know, then in parentheses at, you know,
right,
and it stops people from being able to click on it, because if you can click on your email, in theory, they can usually harvest it.
You know, doing this kind of trickery to make sure people aren't scraping your email is a little bit like thinking that your social security number is not public.
Right.
Because there's just so many ways to get that I always just make the assumption, you know, I've got a jcollison@yahoo.com that I've had since 1996. I just assume that's a public email address. Everybody's got that. And so it's not like I'm going to try and hide that necessarily so the spam bot can't get it. It's so out there that it's just like, I've given up. I've got to find other ways to secure it to make sure. You know, I recently just changed all my email over to two-factor. A lot of the companies now, email providers, are providing forms of two-factor authentication when you log into your email. The other thing I did on Yahoo, because it's such a public account, is I make that thing. There's a setting where it'll auto log out every. You can do it every hour, every 3 hours. Now I'm not crazy. I set mine every 20. Mm-hmm. Once a day, that thing logs out, and then I have to re-log back in with dual-factor authentication unless I've said yes. This is a PC, right? Then you can say this is a PC that I use. And that effectively then doubles the security on my email. So if I recommend two-factor for every podcaster on their email because it's so out there. You want people to contact you. Well, you're putting your email address in the clear in a lot of cases. So if that email service does not have two-factor authentication. What two-factor means is you put a password in and something else on a different device. Like you get a code to your, you get a text message to your phone, or Microsoft has its own app that on your phone will pop up and say, hey, someone's wanting to sign in. Is that you? Right? It has to be on another device of some kind, or biometric, right? If you're not considering two-factor on your email, you're crazy right now. I mean, because if you're thinking your password is going to do it, you're in for a big disappointment. So I'd recommend looking at, I know Yahoo does, Microsoft does, Google does. They all offer some form of two-factor, and it's a pain. Trust me, the time you're trying to log into your email and it's logged you out and it's sending a code to your phone and your phone's not in the room that you're in and you got to go get it. And you're in a hurry because your podcast is starting in 1 minute and you're running late, right? It sucks. I get it. But security is really, really important from that standpoint. So think about two-factor as well.
Yeah. Danny, what software are you using to manage your forums? Because I know he's talked about in the past his Once Upon a Time forums, and I think he actually eventually had members of his audience start to like manage themselves, which is like the perfect setup, you know, because you have people that want to help support the show. Oh, here, you know, when somebody goes into the forum and starts talking about, you know, blah, 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 delete it so you can have them.
You know, you want to see your podcast explode, personally help someone with something. You know, take the time that you would spend trying to work Twitter or work Reddit or work Google or work Facebook. Mm-hmm. Take that time and reach out to somebody personally. You've said this before in your podcast, and I've done it before too, and I think it worked. Spend those time with people and they will promote, if you do that for them, they will promote you like you have never seen before. And Dave, I think, you know, you've got a lot of loyal followers. When I listen to the calls that you get in, I mean, these people, you've helped them personally. And I just think we spend a lot of time as podcasters trying to game the system. You know, hey, if I can just get it on, and we're talking about Reddit in the chat room right now, if I can just promote it on Reddit, it's going to be, well, you know, if it's easy to do, it's one thing. You know, like I've got a little script for Dig, right? And I post my podcast link out on Dig. It's gotten me nothing, but it takes me 3 seconds to do that, right? Kind of deal. But take a few minutes, personally reach out to your audience, talk to them one on one. Man, I tell you what, that kind of engagement, that is worth gold.
Well, the other thing is that and I think the first person I heard like bring this up that I was like, man, that's a good way of looking at it is, you know, so many people are out there. If you think about how hard it is to start a fire, right? We're talking, you know, not matches and things like that. You know, if you actually, you know, but once you get the fire going, if you keep that fire going, it'll actually spread and you'll end up with a big fire. And so it was Lou Mangiello of WDWradio.com, Mr. Disney guy. And he said, you know, it's better to take care of the audience you have and let them spread it than try to go out and start a fire over here, you know, let them do that. And I was like, man, that's really good advice. Okay.
Well, oh, we forgot about Block Talk.
Sorry, whatever. Yeah, let me go ahead and kill that now.
It's the discipleship model, not to get, you know, what's the sky buddy, the invisible sky buddy, invisible. Not to get invisible sky buddy on anybody, but right. It's that discipleship model that Jesus used with